2017 National English Competition for College Students. Level B, Final. Part 1, Listening Comprehension. Section A. In this section, you will hear 5 short conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. 1. Who's in charge of the construction project?
We've taken on a civil engineer on a 9-month temporary contract. He'll oversee the whole project. In fact, we're having a project meeting at 3 p.m. this afternoon to allocate responsibilities and finalize the time schedule. Why don't you join us?
I can't, I'm afraid. I've got another meeting scheduled for 2:30 p.m.
Two. The PR company offers me the job.
It's a great opportunity. You should be happy with the offer.
But my mother won't allow me to accept any part-time job. She says a part-time job is a cursed blessing. It takes so much time and energy that I won't be able to focus on my study.
Three. So, presumably, there are some basic guidelines for making the home a safer place for children.
Yes, there are some simple rules which are easy to follow. First of all, electricity can be dangerous if used incorrectly.
Please tell us more about that.
Well, overloading power points with too many appliances and not checking the condition of your electrical equipment is extremely dangerous. Four. With the holiday season once again upon us, we finally could take our family trip.
By the word trip, do you mean sitting in a traffic jam on the way to the coast, queuing up at a packed airport terminal, or fighting our way through the crowds to find a free spot on an overcrowded beach?
Come on. It may not be the best thing to put you in that relaxed holiday mood, but for millions of us, it's worth it for those blessed few days, where we can get a chance to forget about work and truly get away from it.
Five. Well, can you tell me what I need in my application?
All the graduate school applicants must have 3 letters of recommendation. They must have official university transcripts sent directly from their previous school.
I can't send my transcripts myself?
No, your school must send them to us. Also, all graduate students must have GRE or GMAT scores sent to us by the testing center.
Section B. In this section, you will hear 2 long conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, read the questions and mark your answers on the answer sheet with a single line through the center. Conversation 1. Listen to the conversation and mark each statement as either true, T, or false, F, according to your listening. While most high schools focus on preparing students for college, businesses in one community outside Chicago are rallying around a different approach. preparing students for work, we have Pat Hayes with us tonight to share with us her opinion. Welcome.
Thanks. I'm really glad to be here. I'm founder of a local company, Fabric Images, a textile printer, filling 150 positions here the usual way. Relying on diplomas and GPAs left me frustrated.
Why is that?
What does an A mean to an employer today? Nothing. Where did you go to school? What level of course? Was it accelerated? Was it a college prep course? I don't know.
So your job readiness test called WorkKeys aims to get a better read on an applicant's skill level.
That's right. WorkKeys is an assessment about what you have accomplished in math, in reading, and locating for information. Those three characteristics are in about, 98% of the jobs at some level.
Tell us more, please.
More specifically, WorkKeys uses actual workplace scenarios to measure how well individuals can decipher charts, graphs, and other visual information, convert ratios, measurements, and make calculations across a variety of situations, and effectively comprehend memos, instructions, and other authentic workplace documents.
Can every job that you have be profiled based on these core skills?
Sure. And for the first time, I saw a commonality of what an individual had and what I needed, and I could start putting the two things together.
Then how well does it work?
Though it hasn't been evaluated by independent research, my company testimonials describe sharp declines in employee turnover and training costs.
Conversation 2. Listen to the conversation and mark each question as A, B, C, or D according to your listening.
Predictions are dire that, by the end of this century, more than half of the world's 6,000 languages will be gone. With today's program, we're trying to explore tongues around the globe, at risk of being lost forever and what is lost with them.
Each of those languages holds a little piece of information or a lot of information. And that's information that if you lose the language, you lose that connection with that place, with that way of thinking, with tens of thousands of years of that language's lineage.
So, what leads to the loss of some languages?
One cause of the loss of languages, of course, lives around the globe, increasingly interconnected through technology, the economy, and the dominance of a few languages, including online.
Then what are the few dominant languages?
Well, it seems English, Mandarin, and Spanish are gobbling up languages, as people decide they need to have this in order to assimilate into a culture.
What's the key to a language surviving?
A language survives if you have the choice to learn it, if it's available for you to live your life in some way with your language as part of you. In Wales, you have a choice of whether to go to an English medium school or to a Welsh medium school. And in this way, children can learn in the language that they are speaking at home.
But couldn't you make the argument that it would be better if we all spoke the same language, that we all understood each other?
Well, language is the way we think, and it's the way it's been handed down through generations. If you begin to think in another language, that's fine. But if you have to lose the way that your family has been speaking, that's not so fine. That's losing who you are. And when we lose who we are, that's when we become this homogenized consumer of life rather than a citizen who comes from a place and knows who you are. Section C. In this section, you will hear 5 short news items. Each item will be read only once. After each item, there will be a 15-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then, mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
16.
Rock and roll legend Leon Russell has died at the age of 74 in Nashville. In July, he had heart bypass surgery and was recovering from that at the time of his death. Russell wrote, sang, and produced some of the top records in rock and roll history and was well known for his striking appearance with wispy white hair that covered much of his face. In 2011, Russell was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame honored him with the Award for Music Excellence. In the early 2000s, he also started his own record label, Leon Russell Records.
A powerful earthquake struck the Pacific's Solomon Islands, prompting tsunami warnings for its neighboring island nations. But the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center added there was no threat to Hawaii. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the earthquake measured at a magnitude of 7.7, with an epicenter 120 miles away from Honiara, the Solomon Islands capital. The survey added it also measured at a depth of 30 miles below the surface. But that did not stop the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center from alerting Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, Nauru, New Caledonia, Tuvalu, and in Kosrae. Instead, the center added hazardous waves were possible.
According to health officials, cases for the contagious disease mumps has hit a 10-year high in the United States. Officials add that the disease is especially common on college campuses. Before a mumps vaccine became widely available back in 1967, nearly every child in the U.S. would get infected. Since then, cases have declined over 99%. Symptoms for mumps typically begin 16 to 18 days after infection. They then last around 7 to 10 days. Up to 40% of people with mumps have mild symptoms and may not even realize they are sick. However, they can still spread the disease to others.
The tech companies of Silicon Valley are standing up against Donald Trump's travel ban. The Silicon Valley Leadership Group says immigrants make up about 58% of the area's engineers and other high-skill employees. 97 companies from the area, including Google, Apple, Microsoft, Netflix, Facebook, and Twitter, joined in on a court filing against the ban. Carl Guardino, the CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, told the Associated Press, "Immigration and innovation go hand in hand. This cuts so deeply into the bone and marrow of what fuels the innovation economy that very few CEOs feel the luxury of sitting on the sidelines. So people are going to stand up and speak up." The court filing, which was submitted Sunday, spoke of the entrepreneurial spirit of people who choose to leave everything that is familiar and journey to an unknown land to make a new life.
Joseph Ledoux, a scientist who studies fear and anxiety in humans, recently announced that fear and anxiety do not occur in one area of the brain, but many. Ledoux's new theory is that fear and anxiety are completely separate and happen in different parts of the brain. When someone detects a threat in their environment and gets into defense mode, that's when fear and anxiety happen simultaneously. Ledoux also criticized how anti-anxiety drugs only focus on the part of the brain called the fear circuit, rather than focusing on the actual fear and anxiety a person experiences.
Section D. In this section, you will hear two short passages. The passages will be read only once. After each passage, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, write the answers on the answer sheet. Listen to the passage. For questions 21 to 25, fill in the blanks with the exact words or phrases you hear. Within the national group, our prejudices tend to be very mixed and, because they operate mainly on an unconscious level, not easily recognizable. We can be natives of great cities and still find a town dialect less pleasant than a country one. And yet hearing prettiness and quaintness in a Dorset or Devon twang, we can also despise it because we associate it with rural stupidity or backwardness. The ugly tones of Manchester or Birmingham will, because of their great civic associations, be at the same time somehow admirable. The whole business of ugliness and beauty works strangely. A BBC announcer says payday, a Cockney says pie die. The former is thought to be beautiful, the latter ugly. And yet the announcer can use the Cockney sounds in a statement like, "Eat that pie and you will die," without anybody's face turning sour. In fact, terms like ugly and beautiful cannot really apply to languages at all. Poets can make beautiful patterns out of words, but there are no standards we can use to formulate aesthetic judgments on the words themselves. We all have our pet hates and loves among words, but these always have to be referred to associations. We have to watch associations carefully, remembering that language is a public, not a private medium, and that questions of word hatred and word love had best be tackled very coldly and rationally. Listen to the passage. For questions 26 to 30, complete the notes using no more than 3 words for each blank.
The notion that geniuses such as Shakespeare, Mozart, and Picasso were gifted or possessed innate talents is a myth, according to a study by a British psychologist. After examining outstanding performances in the arts and sports, researchers concluded that excellence is determined by opportunities, encouragement, training, motivation, self-confidence, and, most of all, practice. The theory has been applauded by academics worldwide. It has significant implications for teachers and parents, not least because children who are not thought to be gifted are being denied the encouragement they need to succeed. However, studies of accomplished artists and mathematicians, top tennis players, and swimmers reported few early signs of promise prior to parental encouragement. No case was found of anyone reaching the highest levels of achievement without devoting thousands of hours to serious training. Even those who were believed to be exceptionally talented required lengthy periods of instruction and practice. Opponents of this theory said practice and other factors were no doubt important contributors to outstanding performance, but not enough to explain great creative works. In the words of David Feldman and Tamar Katzir of Tufts University, Massachusetts, talent is essential.
This is the end of the listening part. Please transfer your answers to the answer sheet.